Okay, thank you so much for coming out. Our excitement has been building week by week as we've been looking at different aspects of the story and focusing on different individuals, guided by those four opinions of Maseches Megillah Daf Yutes, four opinions about how to structure Mikra Megillah, four opinions about how to partition the Megillah, Takfo Shel Achashverosh, Takfo Shel Mordechai, Takfo Shel Haman, and Takfo Shel Nes. Look at those three individuals, Achashverosh, Mordechai, and Haman. And we had a chance to consider what the Megillah has to tell us about Haman the man, and Haman as a paradigm and as a character of a caricature of Gaiva run amok in a way that's like a circus mirror, where you think that you're on top of the world, and really he's the least powerful of all in a certain sense. A chance to look at Haggai and Shashgaz as opposed to Mordechai and Esther. A chance to explore Haman's plan. And then last week, I had a chance to look at Takfo Shel Nes, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's approach, and see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was carefully undoing. And we saw how there were, in particular, the blend, how the Nes comes about through a blend of human hashtadlos and divine hashkacha. And the divine hashkacha expresses itself, in particular, in the timing. Three times over the course of the unfolding of the Nes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Malam pointed out, Hashkacha sees to it that that particular event, human events, happen at just the right time for things to fall into the Ribbono Shel Olam's plan. The moment that Haman chooses to arrive in Achashverosh's palace in the middle of the night, the moment that the Sarisim appear to pick him up and overhear what the plan is, and then the moment that Achashverosh chooses to return to the room and find Haman entirely compromised. And now we come to the last parak. The last parak is rather than looking where the Megillah talks about Achashverosh, or the Megillah has to say about Mordechai, or about Haman, or about the Nes, the last parak, the last long parak, parak tes, is where the Megillah talks about itself. It's almost an out-of-body experience. We're not used to Tanakh talking about itself. The parak tes is largely the Tanakh talking about the Yontif of Purim, the Tanakh talking about the writing of the Megillah. The Perek Tes begins, it feels a little bit perhaps anticlimactic. And it begins with the Chal Yisrael defend themselves in the way that we've known that they would. And then you see the Kviyas Yom Tov of Purim, and you hear the Megillah speaking about its own writing. And over the course of the Megillah speaking specifically about Purim, so it's interesting to notice what is there and what isn't there. What isn't there in the various stages, Purim begins as grassroots. Purim begins as something that Jews, at least the Jews in the Ari HaProzim, are volunteering, that ultimately becomes a formalized takana. One of the mitzvahs that you don't have is the mitzvah of Hallel, among all the mitzvahs that you do have. That's something the Gemara comments on with several, three different approaches as to why there is not a mitzvah of Hallel. Then, of course, the Megillah talks about what is included. And what is included is Mishloach Manos Ishrayehu Matanos Evyonim Mishta V'Simcha, and so those are the three hands-on mitzvahs of Sudas Purim Mishloach Manos Matanos Evyonim, and the Megillah also speaks about the Yom Nizkarim V'Naasim V'Zechiyev to speak about Purim, to recite the Megillah at every year. You think about those mitzvahs, those four mitzvahs, and in a certain sense, Mishloach Manos perhaps stands out as unique. Think about which of those four are not like the other. Which of those four are not like the others? Matanos Avyonim, a lot of different ways to think about that riddle. But one perspective is to think about where these, you know, the Gemara says that there was a part of the drama and part of the undertone of Atichtov Esther HaMalka Bas Avichal and the Megillah talking about its own writing and its own kavius. Gemara says that there was a halachic drama that surrounded Kisvuni L'Doros and Kivuni L'Doros. There was debate about whether Esther would be canonized into the Tanakh. There was debate about whether a new Yom Tov could be established. And part of what the Gemara appears to discuss, the Ramban and others say this, in the Kivuni L'Doros, is that a key part of the license to be Koveya Purim as a Yom Tov is that it fits into certain, it reinforces certain themes that already appear in the Chumash. So when you think about the mitzvahs in particular, so three mitzvahs fit that, and the fourth doesn't seem to. The Tanis of Yonim is a form of the mitzvah of tzedakah. In HaTorah, a Jew is not obligated to give tzedakah every single day. Over the course of time, I have to give tzedakah. If there's a need presents itself, a person presents him or herself, I have to respond to the need. There isn't per se a chiv necessary to give tzedakah on any given day on the calendar. Okay. So Chazal said we're taking the mitzvah d'aris of tzedakah and attaching it specifically to the day of Purim. And Mikra Megillah is a form of Liman HaTorah. The Mikra Megillah certainly is patterned after the Kriyas HaTorah, which already exists on the level of d'aris in the context of Hakel and other contexts. And Suda, the mitzvah of Suda, Yimei Mishnah V'Simcha, so that's reflective of the mitzvah d'aris of Suda Semt. Shloch Manos is sort of the odd man out. Shloch Manos is Shreihu. It doesn't really fit any d'aris. It doesn't fit any d'aris pattern. It doesn't really seem to be reflective of a mitzvah d'aris. It's not at all like the mitzvah of Matnas Kahuna. It seems like it's a new model. And it's curious when you look at the way the Purim is structured in these psukim. So there are a couple of approaches to it, and one of them I think speaks to a larger pattern that's expressing itself specifically in Perek Tes. And what I want to share with you is based in part on some of the comments of Yigal Ariel and Morva Hadas. I want to take a look later. It's this section begins on page 420. He points out that one of the fascinating trends over the course of the Megillah, and one of the ways in which, you said before, your Perek Tes seems a little anticlimactic, one of the ways in which Perek Tes is very much the summation. Again, Perek Tes seems a little anticlimactic because, sometimes you listen to the Megillah, you say, we already know what's going to happen. Haman is done. Haman is eliminated. Mordechai and Esther then not only eliminate Haman, but they didn't have to deal with the ongoing issue, the law is on the books, so they come to Achashverosh and they plead to introduce an alternative set of instructions. So at that point, we feel like we're done. So the issue has happened. Everything's in place. And you come to Perek Tes, so now we see it actually playing out. But it feels a little anticlimactic. So Rigal Ariel points out that Perek Tes is very much a summation, probably in many ways. One of them is the following. There's a trend from the beginning to the end of the Megillah. You look at the beginning of the Megillah, it all seems very individual. It's all about individual people. It's all about Yechidim. We're introduced to Achashverosh. Who Achashverosh? And I have a whole parak focus on Achashverosh. Talk first of Achashverosh. And then Ish Yehudi Hayabashushan Abir. We meet another man. That individual, that stress. An individual Jewish man, and we introduce Mordechai. Initially, we hear about Am Yisrael at that point, and when we hear about Mordechai, only as people who go into Galus. He was part of the Gola that had been sent out of Yerushalayim with Yechaniah, the early Galus Yechaniah. That's the only expression of Am Yisrael. Chazal add that look, putting the pieces together, what else are Klal Yisrael up to at that point? Nehenu Misudah Shoshach HaShveyosh, which is not only a chet in and of itself, but especially since coming off of our limud of Daniel, you know, the difference could not be more stark, because Mordechai is identified as being part of Galus Yechaniah. Who else was part of Galus Yechaniah? Daniel, Hanan, Mishael, Azariah. We learned about them in Sefer Daniel, and the first thing we hear about them is they come to Babel as part of Galus Yechaniah, and they hold strong Pas Baga Melech. They refuse to eat the king's food. They're going to maintain kashrus. They're going to maintain their standards. And here we hear about Am Yisrael, they're golem, and they seem to have disconnected from the glory days of Golos. Even the glory days of Golos Yechaniah. They had gone to Babel, but at least they still were careful about what they ate and how they socialized. And the Am Yisrael picture at the beginning of the Megillah is either non-existent or bleak. We're not really hearing about Am Yisrael. To the extent we are hearing about Am Yisrael, they're golem. They've disconnected from what makes them unique. And then, moving from Ish Yehudi, we hear about another individual, Esther. Esther, we hear about Esther, it's remarkable. I never thought about this until Ariel pointed this out. We don't hear about any other Jewish woman. This Gezeirah was universal. It was empire-wide. But we only hear about Esther. We neither hear about any other Jewish women who were or were not in danger, nor do we hear about any communal response to Esther. You have to imagine, try to imagine, we spoke this a couple of weeks ago, imagine what it must have done to the whole community. A Jewish woman, part of a Jewish family, and suddenly she's snatched away. But we only hear about Mordechai's response. And Esther is, one of the few things you hear about Esther initially is she's not Magedas. She will not say where she comes from. She will not identify herself as a representative of Am Yisrael. She's just Esther. Period. So the Megillah begins very, very individualistically. The Megillah begins, it's all about the Yechidim. Who's the first person to actually talk about Am Yisrael?
Haman.
Right. Now, even Haman, Haman first appears, well, he's all about himself, that's for sure. The narcissism is beyond compare. It's remarkable also, sort of in a different direction. We never hear what Haman did politically, or what he did in terms of matters of state. We hear nothing about Haman actually accomplishing anything. All we hear about is he was Miss Gadel and Miss Nase, and then it's all about his covenants. Remarkable. Remarkable. And this is a sort of separate comment, but just interesting to think about. And Ariel points out earlier that Mordechai is such a sone kavod. It's such an expression called Barech Mena Kavod, Kavod Barach HaZachrov. Mordechai is, throughout the Megillah, so disinterested. He gets the greatest dose of kavod one could get. He rides in the royal horse, wearing the royal crown, practically acting like a king. And then right after he's done, he goes back to Shar HaMelech. Just all slides off. It doesn't matter. He's like impervious. Haman is totally wrapped up entirely in his covenant. Eventually, Mordechai cares about his covenant a little bit later. We'll get to that. But you know, Mordechai, ironically, is the one who we actually hear not only taking care of his own people ultimately, but at the very end, involved in empire-wide matters of state. Everyone boos when they talk about the mosque, but it's remarkable that Haman, we never hear about Haman doing anything governmental. Haman is certainly an individual in an incredibly negative narcissistic sense, and he is a person who notices Am Yisrael, who speaks of Am Yisrael for the first time. Now, initially, his reaction to Mordechai seems also mano a mano, it's about me and him, although if you read carefully, you begin to see that in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Daled, we're starting to hear about the Haman's reaction, which seems so overblown, to not just go after Mordechai, but to go after all of Am Yisrael. It is because he knows that Mordechai is not just an individual. Thank you. Ki yigidu lo sa Mordechai. They had told him, Ah, Mordechai. They told him Mordechai is part of a larger group. And Haman goes after the Ah, Mefuzer, Mefuhr. And that's the first time that you then begin to see Klal Yisrael coming together. Evel Gadol Yehudim. Mordechai is the only one who knows about things in Shushan. We discussed a couple weeks ago. But beyond, Jews are hearing about the Gzeira. And now you begin to see Yehudim for the first time. Jews. Jews getting together in groups in response to the Tsar. And then it really picks up steam. Am Yisrael coming together really picks up steam when Esther takes the reins. Because the first thing she says, Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim. Rav Chaim Friedlander writes very beautifully in Sifsei Chaim about that. That turning point, the first thing she says is get the Jews together. Get the Jews together and daven. Get the Jews together and fast. But Lech Kenos. First, and then from that point on, mentioned the other week that moment when Mordechai says to Esther, maybe this is a pivotal moment. Maybe this is the answer to the question, well, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? Maybe this is your tafkin. It's that moment that flips the switch inside of Esther's own mind and heart, and all of a sudden she becomes no longer a passive follower of Mordechai's instructions. Now she's driving the action. She, in terms of the human action for the rest of the Megillah, is being driven all the way through until Vatichtov. The first writer of the Megillah is Esther, the second writer is Mordechai. So, but not only does that moment, you know, betoken a shift in Esther's personal hanhaga, but it's also what drives the switch from a focus on Yechidim to a growing focus on Tzibur. Lech Chinos is called Yehudim, and then you hear in Parakhez, Yehudim Ha'isa'or V'simcha V'sasan V'yikar. We're even hearing about non-Jews wanting Rav Meah Amiyaris Misyadim. That speaks to Kalal Yisrael as being a unit of significance. And finally, in Perek Tes, Nikhalu v'amodal nafsham. That shoresh of Kehila, that Kalal Yisrael were, in a certain sense, we've reached the peak. Because at first we were sort of grassroots getting together a little bit, like the Evel Gadol HaYehudim, in groups of Jews, okay, at least we're seeing that. And then Esther already speaks about getting all the Jews together, Lech Chinosis Kol HaYehudim. And now finally, Nikhalu V'amod Al Nafsham, while on the one hand it seems like this is just playing out what we already saw the Yeshua, the writing on the wall in a positive sense, but now we're seeing what's being added is you're seeing Klal Yisrael come together as the Kehila. And they're doing it themselves. We're now a kehila, and we're the Jews are nikhalu. We are being makhil ourselves, and for that alone, Dayan, for that alone, already we're seeing this beautiful arc from yechidim to tzibur, from being downtrodden, from galus to Yeshua, and that is you're seeing. Rav Ariel points out, it's a phenomenon that we know nowadays and that we, to extent, bemoan. But it's bittersweet. It's bitter that sometimes we feel like we only get together when there's tzara, and at the same time there's a sweetness, goodness in the fact that tzara does bring us together. So that phenomenon is what you see here. That tzara, we had been yechidim. And it's tzara that brought us together. It's the pressure of tzara that brought us together. The truth that he points out, it's the Gemara. The Gemara comments, Megillah Daf Yudalid. It's in this context that the Gemara speaks about the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os. The Gemara says, 40 HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os. The Gemara goes on to comment, those are the ones I mentioned in Tanakh. There may have been a million Nevi'im or more over the course of the 1,000 years of Jewish Nevuah from Matan Torah until Malachi, but the Gemara says all the Nevi'os did not accomplish as much as the simple removal of the Hasaras HaTabas. Achashverosh removes his royal signet ring. That one act of authorizing Haman, giving him license to wreak havoc, that moment accomplished more in terms of Tshuvas Am Yisrael than all the words of the Nevi'im. That's what the Gemara said in Megillah Daf Yudal. That essentially capturing what we're observing and capturing this phenomenon that will be true again and again throughout Jewish history, that sometimes it's tzara that brings us, it's tzara that forces us to, it motivates us to improve more than Sifrei Musar. And it's not that it should be that way, but unfortunately sometimes the only thing that will get us to make a change is Hasara Satabas, is tzara. And specifically, what Ariel is tracing here is that it's also tzara which gets Klal Yisrael to be mitgabesh from Yechidim, and just we're seeing the tzaddikim into an Am Yisrael, into Eva Gadadola Yehudim, and then to Leich Chenosis Kol Hayedim, and then finally to Lehudim HaYisaura and Nikhaluva Moda Lavsham. And that's a glorious arc. It's a glorious arc of from Yechidim to Tzibur, and it's being driven by the Tzara. But, and I want to take questions in a moment, reverse one more stage, because step one alone, already Dayena, it's already beautiful, it's already meaningful, and it's extraordinary growth, and Baruch Hashem in the Megillah, it doesn't stop there. Because what you go on to see over the course of Perek Tes, and this is the way in which Perek Tes, number one, is this closing section of the Megillah is A, very coherent, and B, a very natural climax, that the number one, as we saw, the actualization of the plans of Yeshua, plans of Mordechai and Esther, the actualization of the second set of letters is not just playing out what we knew we expected to see, but it's seeing Klal Yisrael coming together. And then there's more, because what comes after that is, yes, the Kviyas Yom Tov of Purim and the Ksivas HaMegillah, and the Gemara understands that the language that's used there indicates that the Kviyas Yom Tov of Purim and the writing of the Megillah perhaps also was not only important in of itself, but was part of a larger picture. There's a phrase that appears more than once. Interestingly, once it's with Lashon Yachid. V'kibel ha-Yehudim, Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Gimel. Once again, Yehudim. V'kibel ha-Yehudim, Eis Asher Hechelu La'asos. The Jews accepted, but Kibel is Yachin. Intriguing. The Jews are an Am Yisrael. And of course, that phrase also appears as a pair of verbs, Kiyamu v'kiblu. What's with the Kiyamu v'kiblu? It seems repetitive. They reinforced and they accepted. Doesn't it just mean the same thing? It's redundant. The Gemara says, no. Kiyamu mashe kiblu kvar. It's a reference not only to the Kabbalah of the Takana of Purim, but it was also it refers back to there had already been a Kabbalah almost 1,000 years earlier, Klal Yisrael b'makabel the Torah, and at this moment we were mekayim, we confirmed a prior acceptance. Gemara says famously in this context that there was an element of coercion, or at least I would say of a lack of voluntarism. The Maharal understands kafalei and harkegigas is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu figuratively held a gun to our heads, literally held the mountain to our heads. The Malbim understands that, like holding a gun to our heads, holding a mountain to our heads is also an expression. The Malbim says that the force HaKadosh Baruch Hu applied was far more intrinsic. It was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made everything so, for a moment, all of the curtains, all of the inobviousness that's built in by design to Olam HaZeh, all the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu masks the reality that what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong, that what's right pays, and what's wrong doesn't, and so on and so forth. For a moment at Har Sinai, all that was stripped away, and Klal Yisrael had total moral clarity. And it's not that, oh, you better accept Torah or else. There was such clarity that it would have been utterly absurd to not accept the Torah. Why would you want to do that? It was so obviously the right thing to do. Why would I take all my life savings and just flush them away for no good reason? Why would I just, in theory I have Bechir Chavshus, I could pick up a sledgehammer and smash my car, but why would I ever want to do that? That's just absurd. Of course I'm not going to do that. Not that you're forcing me to not smash my own car. Why would I want to? So Maharal says, that's Kavalei HaKagigas. For the moment, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us one moment at Mamar Sinai where it was so obvious that not accepting the Torah was just the silliest idea. More destructive than smashing my car for no good reason. So, but something was missing. Modar Rabba L'Araisa. 1,000 years later, Kiyum Mashiach Kiblu Kvar. So what's fascinating is that Kalal Yisrael are coming together. Here's the step two. Not only have we come together through Tzara, we got together and took care of each other. Something that's very much on our minds, Bizman Hazeh as well. There are 250,000 Jews or so in Ukraine, leaving Ukraine, having left the Ukraine, refugees in Romania, refugees in Moldova. But we went on to invest that sense of achdus in Torah. It didn't remain only in achdus of Tzara, but it was kibum asher kiblu kaz, the kibel ha-yehudim. That sense of achdus was invested into renewing the bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And that then also brings us back to where we started. The mitzvah, said before that there's a mitzvah that's missing, halal, where is halal gone? And then there's a mitzvah that is there that seems out of place. The mitzvah that is there that ought not to be, the mishloach manos, seems so random. You want to say more tzedakah, more liman haTorah, sudas yomtiv, we get that. As a matter of fact, the Gemara comments initially, in the grassroots version, there had been even reference to Yom Tov. And Yom Tov means the initial idea that the Jews had was maybe we'll make a Yom Tov with an Isser Malacha. That falls away in Takanas Mordechai. That was never became part of the formalized. Therefore, the initial popular version had Yom Tov. Okay, so those are all concepts that we expect to find. Mishloach Manos, what is that? So there are different approaches. There is the Rambam and the Truman said, Dash understand that's an expansion of the Mitzvah of Seuda, something we've discussed at other times, but the Chasam Sofer points out that Shlomo Alkabetz, who's famous to us as the author of Lecha Dodi, also wrote a pirush on the Megillah called Manos HaLevi, in which he talks about, among other things, the Manos. He was a Levi, Shlomo HaLevi. His Rosh HaTevis are the acrostic of Lecha Dodi. In the Sefer, I don't know if the entire Sefer was named for this one comment about Mishloach Manos, but the Chasam Sofer focused our attention on the fact that Shlomo Alkabetz, in his Perush on Esther, Manos HaLevi, in Perek Tes, Mishloach Manos Yishra'ehu, the Shlomo Alkabetz seems to say, the goal of the Mishloach Manos, it's not so much about providing for Seuda, not expanding the Seuda, it's Yishra'ehu. The point is that it's meant to be Mar Bereis. The focus, the goal of Mishloach Manos is to increase friendship. And that's not at all random. That's such a natural conclusion to where the Megillah has been trending. We began with Klal Yisrael disconnected.
Mefuzah, right.
That was the first, exactly good point. The very first reference to Am Yisrael is that we're not really an Am. We're not much of an Am at all. And over the course of initially Tzara Satabas, and it's Tzara that begins to bring us together, but we really make something of it. And Esther guides it, the Lech Kenos into Tefillah, and then Klal Yisrael really jumps on. We jump on, and the Yehudim Ha'is Arva Simcha comes to a place of happiness, and it comes to a point where, even without Esther's prodding, Nikhalu, the Jews themselves are banding together into Am Yisrael, and it brings us to, we invest that Achdus into a beautiful moment of re-Kabbalah Satorah, the reconfirmation of Kabbalah Satorah, and it's made permanent in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So that's a very positive arc, and we're not done yet because there's an epilogue. The epilogue, as I mentioned before, that there is a missing mitzvah. The mitzvah you would have expected to hear about is halal. That would have been really natural. And yet, it's nowhere here. So much of Tanakh, certainly Tehillim, so much of Tanakh is concerned with halal and shira. And it seems like such a natural reaction, and it doesn't seem like there's any shira. It's the one thing that's missing that you find elsewhere in Tanakh. There's a Yeshua and there's a shira. In Chumash, in Nevi'im, in Ksuvim, the Megillah doesn't have that. The Gemara discusses that. Where is Halal? Where is Halal? So the Gemara has three suggestions which fall into two categories. One suggestion the Gemara has is that there is Halal. It just takes a different form. Kriyasa Zuhi Halayla. The Mikra Megillah is the Halal. And if we had more time, we could talk about a greater length. But the core of that is that we're watching HaKadosh Baruch, we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim and the Star. HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer is obvious, and so the thank you is not the thank you of the classical halal of talking about Nisim Gluyim, but the Megillah is the best halal. The Megillah is a study noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's in obvious. But that also brings us to the other two approaches, because the other two approaches, Gemara says, maybe this wasn't the type of Yeshua, this wasn't the type of event that calls for a halal. Either because the Gemara says it didn't happen in Eretz Yisrael, or because it did not result in Jewish sovereignty. Akati Avdu Achashverosh Hanan. We were still subjects of the Persian Empire. We were safe, but we weren't free. Or because it happened in Chutz La'aretz. So those two answers seem to both speak to the idea, the two Zionist answers, that Chanukah and perhaps Yom HaTzmaut call for halal because they were Yeshuas that occurred in Eretz Yisrael and that resulted in Jewish sovereignty, while Purim lacks both of those. So one could perhaps capture both those answers in saying that Purim was a Yeshua, but it wasn't a Geula. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us, but we're still in Gaulis. We started in Gaulis, and we're still in Gaulis. We close with this. There's a word that appears in the positive piece. And when everything settles and we're in a good place, a word that appears more than once in Perek Tes, where Yigal Ariel points out, is v'noach. We hear about menucha. So I would make the following comment. The Gemara understands that the psukim talk in Parshas Re'eh about coming el ha-menucha ve'el ha-nachala. The Gemara says menucha is a temporary stage. Klal Yisrael get to build a mishkan shiloh. That's called menucha. When there's a temporary opportunity to bring karbanos in a more organized way, but it's temporary, it's going to end. Mishkan Shiloh will come and go, and the results of Mishkan Shiloh are temporary. Nachala, the Gemara says, is Beis HaMikdash. And once it's a Beis HaMikdash, never again will Jews bring karbanos anywhere but in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a permanent state. So Rav Ariel points out that menucha is a term that appears here repeatedly. That where we reach is v'noach. We got to menucha, but we didn't get to nachala. It's Yeshua, but it's not yet Geula. And that's the story of the as-yet unfinished story of Megillas Esther. We're watching the power of Tzara to bring Yechidim into, to remake Am Yisrael, to reconnect Am Yisrael. We're watching Am Yisrael do remarkable things with that Achdus. The Tefillah and the Torah and the renewing of Kabbalah's Al Mitzvahs, that's expressed through Purim, that's expressed through Megillas Esther, and there's still more to go. And it's Noach, and it's Menucha, and we're in a good place. And we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Nisan Nistarim, Kriyasa Zuhi Aleila, and that is incredible. And we're still waiting, we are Ara Yom HaZeh, still waiting for the return of the Nisim Gluyim, and the return to Yerushalayim, taking this from Yeshua to Geula Shleima. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.